And good morning, Ascend Church. Some of you had your coffee this morning. All right. If you would stand with me while we get ready to give praise to our God, who is so worthy, so incredible. I don't know if you know him like I do, but I just have to give him a shout of praise. Come on, somebody shout out.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Come on, sing it with us. Oh,
whoa, 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 whoa.
It wasn't for nothing that you shed your blood. So I'm gonna live like my shame is gone. Won't be shackled like the way I was. Oh, I'm gonna live like my chains are gone.
Gone. Now my sin is dead and gone, and I sing hallelujah.
That will overcome. Oh, I'm gonna shout like the battle's won. Come on and shout it out. Oh, fall back, devil, cause your time is up. Oh, I'm gonna live like the stone is gone.
Gone. Now my sin is dead and gone, and I sing hallelujah.
Oh, it's done.
Done. Done. He
of God.
Oh, oh, oh,
how great, how great
the power of the blood.
Whoa,
whoa, whoa.
I am the righteousness of God.
Whoa.
Your glory.
to do what you want to. We are standing in the light, and our hearts are open wide. Let us see more than before. Lord, come have your way here. We surrender all to you. Do what you want to, do what you want to.
Sing along.
Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
sing along. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Struck wonder at the mention of your name.
Who was and is and is. Welcome to Ascend Church this morning, family. You know that what we were singing right there is in the book of Revelation, and it's actually a picture of the throne room of God and the angels worshiping the 24 elders, everyone just worshiping in heaven. So what we're doing here today is we're joining in. Before we get there, we're joining in with our worship to Him. Amen. Well, welcome to church this morning. This is a time in our service. We have one more worship song that we're going to sing, but this is a time if you need prayer today, we want to pray for you. I want to read you a testimony quickly. You know, showing my age when I have to put on my reading glasses, right? But last week, Pastor Steve taught the message, Jesus the Healer, and it was such a revelation. And a lady that comes to our church sent us this. It says, she said this, she said, your teaching on healing restored my faith in healing. And I needed that because I've had so much disappointment with not being healed. Later that night, I led our collective prayer service, and the Lord said to declare healing over the room, and there were about 80 people there. Three people were healed that night, and one we are waiting to hear a report for cancer. Truly, if I hadn't have gone to Ascend Church and heard that message, I don't believe that would have happened. I even double-checked that they were healed, and they weren't just saying it, because I was like, Jesus, you chose me to lead this. Are you sure? And they were clearly encountering the Holy Spirit, so I didn't question it any further. Isn't that amazing? You know, sometimes all we need is to hear the word of God concerning a subject which causes faith to rise in our hearts, and then we're able to receive what it is God has for us. And when it comes to healing, when it comes to deliverance, when it comes to being set free, in any, when it comes to having your prayers answered, it's all in the word of God. There are promises that we can take a hold of by faith. Amen. And so today we want to pray for you. If there's any area of your life, if it's addiction, if it's a financial need, if it's a relationship problem, if it's healing in your body, whatever it is, just feel free during this last worship song to step forward. Our prayer team are here. They will pray a prayer of faith with you. And there are testimony after testimony that come out of these prayer times, because God, Jesus is still the healer today. Amen. I want to pray over those that are watching right now. If you're watching online and you have a need, I just release the healing power of God to flow. There's no distance in prayer. I just speak to bodies to come in line with the word of God. We thank you for your healing power that flows. Father, we pray for harmony, peace and harmony in relationships. We break every addiction, every depression, every oppression that people are facing right now, and we receive it by faith today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now we're going to sing a new beautiful song. And if you're in your seats, just forget about everybody else around you and focus on the words and worship God right now. But if you need prayer, don't feel shy. If you're here for the first time, no one's going to be embarrassed. Just slip out of your seat and come forward, and one of us will pray for you this morning. Amen.
All on the altar, surrendered again, freely I lay down my everything. This is my honor, the gift that I breathe, and I will be a living sacrifice, all my heart and soul to glorify. I offer nothing less than all.
Help me sing that one more time. Sing it out.
I will be a living sacrifice, all my heart and soul to God.
Come on and sing it up to heaven. Just your voice.
All for nothing less than all my life for Jesus Christ.
Come on and agree with heaven and say it.
Praise God. Praise God. That song's been playing in our house like the whole week. So, and in our car the whole week. Beautiful, beautiful words. Praise God. Thank you for worshiping with us. Welcome to Ascend Church. Won't you just take a few minutes, turn around, greet somebody, tell them how good they look today. Wonderful. I like that few minutes. It just gives me a chance to have a look around and see who's here. How wonderful to see you in church with us this morning. Welcome. Welcome. Glad you come to worship with us. And we want to welcome those that are watching, our online viewers around the world, our Ascend Church members. We miss you. We love you. We can't wait to see you again. And I want to welcome, especially this morning, want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We already met a couple of visitors, and so if you are here for the first time, we'd just like to hand you a visitor pack, guest pack, while you're sitting there. So would you mind just waving your hand? Are you here? Come on, let's welcome them, family. Come on, Jeff. I know you're new. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else, if you just wave your hand, I know sometimes people feel a little shy if they're here for the first time to get acknowledged publicly, but we just want to welcome you. Thank you for coming. I always say this, I don't ever believe anyone walks through these doors by accident. You know, sometimes we look back and we see how the Lord was directing our footsteps, putting us somewhere where we heard exactly what we needed to hear and administer to us. So I pray that for you today. At the end of the service, we'll pass an offering bucket by, and if you have filled out that guest card, just drop it in, and it gives Pastor Steve an opportunity to call you and find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for doing that. I just want to say to our members that if you do not receive text messages, we only send out one or max two in a week just to inform you of what's going on. To let you know the message. If you don't receive those texts, like for some reason Abel says he doesn't get the text. What's happening, Abel? We don't know. But anyway, you just text the word ASCEND to 313131. Easy, right? You think they just pair it like that, right? 313131. Just put the word ASCEND and you send it, and that way you'd be notified of what's going on at church. To let you know, to watch on social media, you can check in on Facebook. Welcome to those that are watching on Facebook Live. We have far more people watch our service online than we even have in person. That's just the nature of technology. But we're so glad that you joined us. Go ahead and share that with your friends. And if you are in church, check in on Facebook. It is a way of spreading the message. Amen. And you can share our live stream on Facebook. You can share our Instagram pages, our Facebook page. You can download our app. There's six different ways that you can watch. Every week we're adding something, but there's six different ways to watch. There's our Ascend Church website, ascendchurch.us. There's our mobile app, which I love the best. And then there's YouTube. It's Ascend Church Jupiter. and Facebook, and then on Fox 29 every Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. So what was on this morning on Fox 29, I think was last week's message. So it's a blessing. People are receiving the word wherever they are. And if you want to, there's a barcode in the seat in front of you. Just scan your phone over. It'll take you to our website, to our app, and it's a way for you to stay connected. I always like to go through our purpose as a church. First of all, we want to help people to know God, right? To find freedom, to discover your purpose, and to make a difference with your life. Amen? That's the main purposes of our church. How many people are looking forward to Super Bowl? No great enthusiasm here. Come on, anybody? Leslie's the only one. We're not really football people, but... Yeah, they're already getting ready for Super Bowl, right? That's amazing. Well, we're going to... As you walked in, you received a communion emblems. If you did not get those, just wave your hand and an usher will get one to you. There you go. We use these disposable. It's just easier. You know, back in the day, we would kind of pass a glass along, right? We don't do that anymore. So in here, if you peel the top back, there is a wafer representing the bread. And then you peel the next layer, and that's where the grape juice is. But I'm going to read this scripture, and it's very self-explanatory, and I love this. I read it from the Message Bible, so follow along as you do, and we're going to partake of communion together as a family. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul is writing about the Lord's Supper, and he says this: "Let me go over with you again exactly what goes on in the Lord's Supper and why it is so centrally important. I received my instructions from the Master himself, and I passed them on to you." So he says, I got this from Jesus, and I'm passing on to you what he said. "The Master Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, took bread. Having given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body broken for you. Do this to remember me.' After supper, he did the same thing with a cup. 'This cup is my blood, my new covenant with you. Each time you drink this cup, like today, remember me.' What you must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you reenact in your words and your actions the death of the Master. You will be drawn back to this meal again and again until the Master returns. You must never let familiarity breed contempt. Anyone who eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Master irreverently is like a part of the crowd that jeered and spit on him at his death. Is that the kind of remembrance you want to be a part of? Examine your motives, test your heart, come to this meal in holy awe." So doesn't that just say it all? It says that every time we come together and we partake of the Lord's Supper, we partake of communion together, we are remembering. We do it with gratitude. We do it with awe of what he did. We are remembering. Until he returns, we'll do this as a family. Amen? So I want us to take the bread. Say this with me. Say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your body that was broken and sacrificed for me. I receive today everything you paid for. Healing, deliverance, everything you paid for at Calvary. Thank you for your body broken in Jesus' name." Let's eat that. And then take the cup. Say, "Father God, we thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, that you so loved us, that you gave Jesus, that if we believe in him, we will have everlasting life. We thank you, Lord, that you said this is the blood of the new covenant. Thank you that we have a covenant with you. Thank you that you are our God, and we are your people. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good. Praise God. We're going to just pass those down to the end of the aisle. Thank you, and the ushers will collect them.
No. Praise God. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. Thanks for your enthusiasm this morning. Tell your neighbor it's good to see you today. Glad you are here in God's house today. Amen. I want to encourage you. How many people on Facebook here? Do you use Facebook? I know you do. Whether you raise your hand or not, I know you do. And, you know, last week I asked everyone to just share on Facebook, share our live stream. We're live streaming. And so many more of you, much more people share than normally do. We had like 40 people share it. So what happens, before I even got home, hundreds of people had watched the service. And by the end of the week, over 1,000 people had watched the service. So I want to encourage you again to, if you're on Facebook, one way that you can share the gospel, the good news, with your friends on Facebook is just by simply sharing the live stream and letting them watch it live. Amen? So thank you for doing that. Also, if you're a first-time guest today, we're so glad you're here. Let me see all the first-time guests again. If you're a first-time guest, wave at me one more time. I met you when you came in, Jillian. And if you're a first-time guest, please be sure to fill out this guest card. We'd love to get it back from you because I want to give you a call and find out how you enjoyed the service today. And then before I get into the Word of God, I want to mention that we are starting a Christian growth. We call it the Christian Growth Seminar. This is going to print this week. This is our new manual, the Christian Growth Seminar. This is the notes for the class. It's a four-week Bible study class that we're starting on Wednesday night, February 17th. And if you haven't done the Christian Growth Seminar, I want to really, really encourage you to come to sign up, to register today to do this free class. It's going to run four Wednesday nights. I have taught many Bible studies in my life, and I've been to many Bible studies. I've been through Bible school. I have a doctorate in divinity. I have a doctorate of ministry. I have a bachelor of ministry. I've done a little bit of study. And let me tell you right now, this class is one of the most outstanding Bible study classes I ever seen, really. If you haven't done the Christian Growth Seminar, I really want to encourage you to be here. We haven't done this class in maybe 2 years. We haven't done it. And I know a lot of new people have come to the church. You may have been here 2 years and you haven't yet done this class. I'm asking you to sign up today. Fill out this green card that's in the seat pocket in front of you. It's a green card, says grow. That's what's going to happen. You're going to grow. I'm going to teach you. You'll learn to understand your salvation, understand water baptism, understand the Holy Spirit, how to pray, how to walk in God's financial blessing, how to find your place in the kingdom of God. I mean, so many different things we'll get through. So if you haven't yet registered, now last week we had 25 people register, and I'm believing we can have at least 50 on the class. So, how many of you have not done the Christian Growth Seminar before? Wait, hold your hand up. Hold your hand up. Now, remember, you go to... I changed my mind. So now, if you haven't yet done the class, please fill out the card today, put it into the offering bucket later on when it comes around, and get registered. We need to know how many people to prepare for, how many people to expect, and I would love for you to be there. Amen? Praise the Lord. Where's Abel? He went back to his chair, man. Come jump up here real quick, Abel. I want you to come tell us. This week, Abel's been playing bass at the revival down in West Palm Beach with Sean. How do you say his last name? Foyt. With Sean Foyt, Abel's been there, and he's been playing bass guitar. And I want you to just tell us what the Lord's been doing there, down there, and how God's moving down there.
Yeah, it's really been incredible. We started on Sunday night, so it's been, last night was night 7. We started at Trinity International Church, and there's probably I don't know, at least 500 people that showed up. And then every night there's probably been 50 to 100 people that have come and given their life to Christ. And I played all, probably six of the seven nights. They, on the Tuesday night, they brought in a guest musician, Eddie James. I don't know if you guys heard of him, but he's like in the gospel industry. So his whole band came and played. It's really Sean Foyt and then Eddie James both, but they've been seeing like supernatural miracles. There's a guy who was deaf for 32 years, and God miraculously healed him. He was jumping around on stage. Yeah, it was amazing.
Praise God.
Yeah, people set free. Prodigal son's coming home. Guy, he's the son of a pastor. He's been running away his whole life. And he was sitting down in the with a crowd. And he said, God, if this is really you or if you're real, he's like, you'll pull me up on stage. And Sean picked him out of the crowd and pulled him up. And he just started crying. Yeah, gave his testimony, and now he's on fire for the Lord. So it's they're doing a couple day break, and then Wednesday they're gonna pick back up. So they're thinking it's the next revival. So they're now doing it at Cedra Church. It's off Southern in Congress. So if you guys know anybody who is not saved, coworkers, friends, you can invite them there. It's really powerful. So.
Now, Sean, I know he goes all over the country, and they say he usually only does a one night.
Right.
He usually does a one night revival, and this was only supposed to be one night.
Correct.
But it ended up two nights, three nights, and now seven nights, and now they're continuing this week. So this is very unusual. He doesn't usually do this, and so he really believes like God's doing something powerful in South Florida. And I'm behind anything that God is doing in South Florida. Amen. Yeah. You know, just because it may not be at our church, we support it. They're having it in a parking lot, and they're getting the city is fining them $5,000 a night. The city is fining them $5,000 a night, huh? For having this.
Right.
They should be paying them for having it. They should be giving them $5,000 a night, not fining them Because when people's lives are turned around and people are getting set free from drugs and people are coming back to Jesus, I mean, is that a good or bad thing? That's a great thing, right?
Yeah.
So we're proud of you, Abel.
Yeah.
You representing us. Right. Amen. And some of those nights, some nights this week, it's been real cold. He had some nights that, what was it? 40 degrees. Lordy, lordy. I didn't go out when it's 40 degrees. I live in Florida. Maybe 55, I'll put my big old overcoat on. And what do you call those? I've got one of those, I've got a goose down jacket. I don't play games. It gets below 55, I've got my goose down jacket on. Are you ready for God's word today? Say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you are good. We thank you, Lord, that we know you. We thank you for redeeming us. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your every good thing in our life comes from you. And Father, today as I come to share your word, I make it known that I'm not trusting myself, Lord. I'm trusting you. I'm depending on you that you will speak through me, that you will anoint the words that I speak, and that, Lord, you will bring transformation. Transformation in every person who hears your word today. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory, all the honor in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen, somebody. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are we ready? Thank you to our media team. Do a wonderful job for us. Do I have Mark on camera today? You ready, Mark? Remember, we're on Fox 29 every Sunday morning, 7:30. I said it. I finally figured out how to record the whole series. Took me a while. I'd be recording it on Sunday. I'd have to schedule Sunday. Then I forget. And I forgot to record it. So I figured out how to just record the whole thing. Every time Steve Barry comes on, I'm recording it. Amen. A critique. Well, hi, I'm Steve Barry, and I'm the pastor of Ascend Church here in Jupiter. And if you live anywhere near Jupiter, within 50 miles, I want to invite you. We'd love to have you. Come and visit our church. I promise you, we have the friendliest people. They'll make you feel so welcome. Your kids will have a ball at the Ascend children's church. And so we really hope to see you soon, don't we, everybody? Amen. Now, today, I want to speak about a living sacrifice. We sang the song today, A Living Sacrifice. It's by Brandon Lakes, one of my favorite songs. We just play it over and over and over and over. And if I asked you today, you know, if you wanted to give God a gift, if you wanted to give something to God, what does God want? What can God use? I mean, what does God need? You talk about someone who has it all. That's God. But there's one thing that would be a gift that he desires. There's only one thing that he could use, that he needs, and that is you. He needs you. He wants you. Amen? Amen. The only thing that you can give God that he really wants is you. The Apostle Paul said it like this. This is my foundation text, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I want to break, this is our foundation text today, and I'm going to break it down line by line. We're going to keep coming back to it, and we're going to go through this line by line. Paul starts out, he says, I beseech you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Now, that word beseech actually means to beg. In actual fact, if you read it from, I think it's the Contemporary English Version, it says it like that. It says, I beg you to offer your bodies to him as a living sacrifice, pure and pleasing. Paul says, I am begging you that you would present your body as a living sacrifice. He says, I beg you, therefore, by the mercies of God. Whenever, one thing I learned in English class, whenever you see the word therefore, stop and find out what is therefore. Because when it says therefore, it means I'm saying this because of everything I've already said. See, everything Paul said in the first 11 chapters of Romans talks about the goodness of God, the grace of God, how that all have sinned fall short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And if you believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. He says, in the light of everything we've shared, therefore, by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God. Now, Angie, you went back to the beginning. I'm back at the beginning. Monique, where you at? I'm back at the beginning on my screen here. I don't want to start over again. I beseech you, I beg you, by the mercies of God. Some other translations say it like this, in view of the mercies of God. Or in view of all we've just shared about God's compassion. And the Phillips Bible says, with your eyes wide open to the mercies of God. Carry on moving. The English Revised Version says, I beg you, brothers and sisters, because of the great mercy God has shown us, to offer your lives as a living sacrifice, an offering that is only for God and pleasing to him. Considering what he has done, it is only right you should worship him this way. The New Living Bible says, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. And the Passion Bible says, what should our proper motivation, or what should our proper response be to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God, to be his sacred living sacrifices, and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart, for this becomes your genuine expression of worship. In view of everything God has done, because of all God's mercy toward you, I beg you to offer yourself as a living sacrifice, See, the proper response, the holy response, the spiritual response, the logical response, the intelligent response should be, because of everything that Jesus has done for us, that we surrender everything in our life to Him and that we live our life for Him. That's what it's saying. And that's the only acceptable response in the light of God's extravagant love and mercy and grace. You see, the reason why we devote ourselves to God is because of His devotion to us. When you understand God's mercy to you and you understand all that the Lord has done for you, you know, we deserve hell. But God the Father sent His only Son to come to the earth to sacrifice His life for you and me, to take our sin and punishment so that we could have heaven. When you understand God's mercy to you, the logical thing to do is to live your life as a living sacrifice, fully surrendered to Him. This is an act of worship to God, the Bible says. The Bible says in the New Living Translation, this is truly the way to worship Him. And the Amplified Bible says, this is your reasonable, rational, intelligent, and service and spiritual worship. It's the intelligent thing to do. It's the logical thing to do. It's a spiritual thing to do. That God, because of everything you've done for me, I'm devoted to you, and I present my life as a living sacrifice to you. Amen. You know, we sing the song, I Surrender All. Beautiful song. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Know that song? I think really we should sing, I surrender part. I surrender some. I surrender most. How many know God doesn't want some, most, or part? He wants all. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 37, whoever loves father or mother or son or daughter more than me is not fit to be my disciple. And whoever comes to me must follow in my steps and be willing to share my cross and experience it as his own, or he cannot be considered to be my disciple. All who seek to live apart from me will lose it, but those who let go of their lives for my sake and surrender it all will discover true life. You want to know true life? It doesn't happen until you let go of your life and surrender all to God. You experience true life. God wants us to surrender all to Him. How do you give yourself to Him? Jesus said in Luke 9, verse 23, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. Self-help is not the way. Self-sacrifice is the way, Jesus said. Amen. The Passion Bible says it like this. Jesus said to all of his followers, if you truly desire to be my disciple, you must disown your own life completely, embrace my cross as your own, and surrender to my ways. For if you choose self-sacrifice, giving up your lives for my glory, you will embark on a discovery of more and more of true life. But if you choose to keep your lives for yourself, you will lose what you try to keep. Even if you gained all the wealth and the power of this world, everything it could offer you, yet you lost your soul in the process, what would be the good of that? Self-sacrifice is how you surrender all to God. You follow His will, not your will. Lord, your will be done in my life, not my will be done. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 12, 1, I beseech you, I beg you, by the mercies of God, in the light of everything God has done for you in His mercy, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Say living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, what is a living sacrifice? Because that's kind of a paradox. Those words are kind of opposite. You know what a paradox is? Because sacrifice speaks about death. And under the old covenant, the Jewish people would bring an animal, a lamb or a goat, as a sacrifice. And they would kill it, they would bleed it, They would put it on the altar, and it would, the blood of the animal would atone for their sins. The sacrificial lamb would take their sins, and their judgment would pass on to the lamb, and they would receive forgiveness or atonement. Now, a sacrifice doesn't get off the altar and go home. There's no living after the sacrifice. So a living sacrifice is a paradox, because literally what it's saying is you got to be a living death. Does that mean that we must live continually making sacrifices for our sins? Like, God, you know, I sinned. I need to atone for my sins. I need to do something to make myself right with you. I've got to sacrifice something, Lord. In order to get right with you, I've got to make this right. No, that's not what it means, because Jesus already came as the Lamb of God, who came to be our sacrificial lamb and take all of our sins upon himself. The Bible says in John 6, verse 51, Jesus said, I alone am the living bread who has come down to you from heaven. Eat this bread and you will live forever. The living bread that I give you is my body, which I offer as a sacrifice so that all of you may live. He said in John 10, verse 11, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life as a sacrifice for the sheep. He said in John 10, 18, no one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. In John 1, John 2, verse 2, he himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, not only for our sins, but the sins of all the world. In 1 John 4, verse 10, he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Hebrews 10, verse 4, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats can really take away sins. That is why Christ said as he came into the world, O God, the blood of bulls and goats cannot satisfy you, so you have made ready this body of mine for me to lay as a sacrifice upon your altar. And finally, in Hebrews chapter 9, it says in verse 11, it says, so Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered into that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. He went into that tabernacle in heaven with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves. He entered the most holy place for all time, once for all time, and secured our redemption forever. Jesus' blood paid the price forever for any sin you ever committed or will commit in the future. Under this old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. In Romans 3:25, it says, God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. The Bible says when we believe that Jesus sacrificed himself for us and that he gave his life and he rose from the dead, that's how we are made right with God. So we see the sacrifice of animals in the old covenant. We see the sacrifice of Jesus giving his life and his body in order to redeem us. Now Paul the apostle begs us to offer our body as a living sacrifice surrendered to him. So that means there's got to be a death involved. If I'm a living sacrifice, that's why it uses the word sacrifice. There's a death involved, a living death. What is the death? Well, the scripture tells us in Romans 6, verse 10, for the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is the living death? I am dead to sin and I am alive unto God. The Amplified Bible said, consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and your relationship your relationship to it broken, but alive unto God in unbroken fellowship with him in Christ Jesus. You see, you got to let sin know. Listen, our relationship is over. We are not friends anymore. Sin, I am dead to you. I am alive unto God. Can you say amen? The Passion Bible says it like this. For by his sacrifice, he died to sin's power once and for all, and he now lives continually for the Father's pleasure. It says, so let it be the same way with you. Since you are now joined with him, you must continually view yourselves as dead and unresponsive to sin's appeal while living daily for God's pleasure. You see, you can't do both. You can't be friends with sin and be friends with God. You got to make a choice. I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to be dead to sin. And everybody said, amen. Amen. See, that's why the Apostle Paul, he said in Galatians 2, verse 20, Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it is now Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. It's Christ living in me now. In Galatians 5:24, it says, all those who are Christ. Let me see your hands if you belong to Christ. Wave your hand if you belong to Christ. Say this talking to me. All those who belong, all those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Say, I crucified the flesh. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 2:24, he himself carried our sins in his own body on the cross so that we would be dead to sin and live for righteousness. Say, I'm dead to sin. I'm living for righteousness. See, what is sin? A lot of Christians don't even know what sin is. What is sin? According to the, I looked it up in the Strong's Bible Concordance Dictionary, and it says that sin means an offense or to be led astray, or to err, or to miss the mark. To sin is, it really means to miss the mark. In other words, to miss God's standard. The dictionary says that sin is an offense against religious or moral law. It's a transgression of the law of God. It is a trespass. It means to stray, to err, or to wander. Now, let me give you my definition of what sin is. It's very simple. Pastor Steve, what is a sin? A sin is anything that violates the Word of God. Anything that violates the Word of God is a sin. If God's Word says, don't do this, and I do it, I just sinned. If God says, do this, and I don't do it, I just sinned. A sin is anything that would violate God's Word. Secondly, anything that is disobedient to God's will for my life. Anything that is disobedient to God's will for my life. In other words, the Lord spoke to me, I want you to leave South Africa. I want you to move to America. I want you to start a church there. That's what the Lord told me. My will, it was his will for my life. Now, if I say I'm not doing that, I just missed it. I just disobeyed God. That's what a sin is. A sin is any time we disobey God's will for us or we disobey his word. Say amen, somebody. So as a living sacrifice, I am dead to anything that would violate the word of God, or that would violate God's will for me. I live to bring God pleasure, to please him. So if that doesn't please him, I'm dead to that. Amen. Amen, Pastor Steve. That's good preaching, Pastor Steve. Preach some more, Pastor Steve. Thank you. I'm going to do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15 says, he died for all so that all who live, having received eternal life from him, might no longer live for themselves, to please themselves, but to spend their life pleasing Christ who died and rose for them. Say, I'm not living to please myself. Say, I'm spending my life living to please Christ. And you know what I love? It's not hard to please the Lord. Some people got this idea, it's so hard. God's so hard to please. Oh, he's such a hard taskmaster. Oh, God, that is not true. Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, simply join your life with mine, learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. God, Jesus is easy to please. You'll find refreshment and rest in me. It's not hard to please the Lord. He's easy to please. A living sacrifice means that I live a life where I'm yielded, I'm submitted, I'm surrendered to God. I don't get off the altar and go home. Everything I have is given over to the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, there's other evidences in my life of sacrifice. You know, we talk about sacrificial giving. But the true sacrifice that God really wants, you are the sacrifice. If your life belongs to God, then everything else you have is His too. Amen? Let me tell you, tithing and giving is not a problem when you're a living sacrifice. If tithing is a problem for you, then you haven't fully given yourself to God. Because everything I have belongs to the Lord. My entire life and everything I own is His. Tithing, that's not a problem. Romans 12, verse 2 says, and do not be conformed. Now, verse 1 and 2 connect. Verse 1 is, I beg you by the mercies of God, in light of the mercies of God, you present yourself a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable, intelligent, logical service of worship. Verse 2, and, how many of you never start a sentence with and? That's another thing I learned in English class. You never start a sentence with and. But what it tells me is verse 1 and verse 2 are connected. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to this world. If you're going to be a living sacrifice, you cannot be conformed to this world. Do you know that this world in which we live, Satan is the god of this world? Some people are so surprised by things that bad things that happen in the world. Some people are surprised. How can that happen? Listen, honey, Satan is the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. We live in a world that Satan is in control. Satan is influencing and controlling people in the world. Governments. People surprised. Satan's in charge in the world. That's why. 1 John 5, verse 19. We know that we're children of God and that all the rest of the world around us is under Satan's power and control. Can't you see that? Just look around you. And it's like the world's gone crazy. The world's gone nuts. Satan is the god of this world and he's crazy. And God tells us, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world. The world is defined in 1 John 2:15, tells us what that means. What is the world? It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, now it's going to define what the world is. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The New Living Translation, I'm going to read it from a couple of different translations because I find that helps me to get a greater insight into what the verse is saying. The New Living Translation says, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father. These are from the world. The Living Bible says, for all these worldly things, these evil desires, the craze for sex, the ambition to buy everything that appeals to you, the pride that comes from wealth and importance, these are not from God. These are from the evil world itself. The Amplified Bible, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the craving for sensual gratification, and the lust of the eyes, the greedy longings of the mind and the pride of life, the assurance in one's own resources or one's the stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but these are of the world. And now the Passion Bible, I'll give you another one. For all that the world can offer us, the gratification of our flesh, the allurement of the things of the world, and the obsession with status and importance. The people are obsessed. How many followers you got on Facebook? How many followers you got on? How many likes? People are obsessed with status and important. None of these things come from the Father, but from the world. The Message Bible says, do not love the world's ways, don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. The world and all its wanting, wanting, wanting is on the way out, but whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. Now, I don't know about you. See, I don't know about you, but I have got my eyes on eternity. I got my eyes on eternity. I'm 57 years old. I know it's hard to believe. I know it's hard to believe. I'm 56. My wife keeps reminding me. I'm not 57 yet. I'm 57 next month. All right, don't tell anybody that. My wife's 20 years younger than me, by the way. She's 20 years younger than me. So now, but let me tell you, when you get to my age and life just goes like that, just like that, I am determined. You see, the Bible says your life on this earth is like a vapor. It appears for a moment and vanishes. I'm not going to spend my whole life focused on the life on this earth. I'm set for eternity. I'm preparing for eternity. The Bible talks about the lust of the flesh. It defines what the world is. The lust of the flesh is everything that appeals to our fleshly appetites. It refers to excessive desires for illicit sex, alcohol, drugs, food, anything that satisfies physical needs. And it talks about the lust of the eyes, and that mostly involves materialism, coveting whatever we see that we don't have, envying those that have what we want. And then the pride of life, that's any ambition that puffs us up, that makes us full of ourselves and proud and puts us on the throne of our own life. That's the way of this world. And God does not want us to be conformed to this world. In fact, the New Living Bible says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world. The Passion Bible says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. The Contemporary English Version says, don't be like the people of the world. The Message Bible says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without thinking. And the New Century Version says, don't be shaped by this world. There's too many Christians that act just like the world. We are to be different. Instead of conforming to the world, we are to be transformed. Amen? That's what it says. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Now, the word transformed is the Greek word metamorphosis. Now, metamorphosis is like what happens to a caterpillar. One day, a caterpillar stops eating, hangs upside down from a twig or a leaf, spins itself into a silky cocoon, or they call it molting into shiny chrysalises. I think that's how you say it. And so that caterpillar radically transforms its body and emerges as, it's not a trick question, a butterfly. That's called a metamorphosis. Now listen to me now. You too are transformed. Your thinking is changed when you renew your mind to the Word of God, with the Word of God. I would say to you, Kenneth Hagin used to say this, and I think it's so true. The greatest need among Christians today is to renew their mind with the Word of God. The greatest need among Christians today is to renew your mind with the Word of God. Because Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, how can a young man stay pure? Only by living in the Word of God and walking in its truth. The Message Bible says, how can a young person live a clean life? By carefully reading the map of your Word. The verse 11 says, your Word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Jesus said in Matthew 4 verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. James 1 verse 21 says, Therefore, laying aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Say, Pastor Steve, I thought my soul was already saved. What is your soul? Do you know that you are a tripart being? Do you know that you are a spirit? You have a soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotion, and you live in a body. So the real you is a spirit. You have a soul, my mind, my will, my emotion. And my spirit and my soul are joined together, and I live inside this physical body. Now, when you receive Jesus in your life, when you receive Jesus as Lord, your spirit on the inside is born again. You are made completely new. But your soul and your body are not born again. Your soul and your body are not changed. Your spirit is changed, but your mind and your body are the same. And God expects us to control our body, to present our body as a living sacrifice by the power of the Holy Spirit. He expects us to save our souls by renewing our mind to the Word of God so that our mind, our will, and our emotions are conformed and transformed to God's Word. You are transformed. Listen, you transform spiritually. The moment you receive Jesus, your spirit was born again. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has become. The Living Bible says when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. When you receive Jesus, your spirit is born again. You are cleansed of all sin. You are made the righteousness of God. You have God living on the inside of you, but you are not transformed physically, and you are not transformed mentally. You've got to be transformed in your mind by renewing your mind to the Word of God. And when you do that, suddenly your values begin to change. I used to be profane, but now I'm pure. I don't cuss anymore. I used to be greedy. Now I'm generous. I used to be addicted. Now I'm free. I've been transformed by renewing my mind with the Word of God. I don't think the way that I used to think. I think differently now. I don't act the way I used to act. Amen. This is what God wants, a surrender of our body, a renewal of our mind, a living sacrifice, not conformed to the world, but transformed by renewing our mind to the Word of God. What happens when you do that? Why did Paul beg us to be a living sacrifice? Why did he beg us not to be conformed to the world? Why was this so important? I'll tell you why. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, here's why. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Good News Translation says, then you'll be able to know the will of God, what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect. In other words, if you want to know God's will for your life, if you want to follow and fulfill God's plan for your life, if you want to hear God say to you one day, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord, then you have to determine that you're going to be a living sacrifice, that you're not going to conform to the ways of the world, but you're going to be transformed by renewing your mind with the Word of God. You've got to determine if you want to prove and see and know the will, the perfect will of God in your life. It will not happen until you surrender all and become a living sacrifice. Sacrifice unto Him. Amen. 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 Now, if you're not willing to do this, then you will not be able to discern what God's will is and what God's plan is. And let me tell you, God has a plan for your life. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Say, God has plans for me. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you future and a hope. I've got plans for you. I've got good plans for you, God says. The NIV says, I've got plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Psalm 139 says, you saw me before I was born. You saw me before I was born. That's why I'm vehemently opposed to abortion. Now, if you had an abortion, the Lord will forgive you. Because very often, women, I've noticed, that fight so hard for abortion, it's because they had an abortion. And so they're telling her to make it right. Listen, God will forgive you if you ask him to. But let's not try and stand here and justify and say that this is okay. God said, I knew you before you were born. I knitted you together in your mother's womb. It says, every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Let me tell you, God's got plans for you, and God's got a book where he has written down his plan for your life. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the what?
Race.
God's got a race for you. God's got a race for you. God's got a plan for you. God's got a book for you. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to complete the race. And I want to finish the book. And I want to fulfill the plan. And there is nothing to me that is more important. There is nothing that is more important to me than that. God's got a plan. God's got a book. God's got a race. But if I'm going to know God's plan, I have to determine I'm going to be a living sacrifice. The word sacrifice, the dictionary says, it means anything that is consecrated and offered to God. It is an act of offering something precious to God. It is a destruction or a surrender of something for the sake of something else. It is something we give up for the sake of a better cause. You see, I'm willing to sacrifice certain pleasures in my life that are sinful because I want God's will in my life. I want him to say, well done, Steve. I'm rather be set for eternity. I'm focused on eternal rewards. You know, parents will sacrifice time and money and sleep to take care of their kids. We sacrifice certainly fleshly desires for the sake of true life, for the sake of God's good plan in my life. Are you with me? Matthew 13, verse 44, it says, heaven's kingdom realm can be illustrated like this. A person discovered that which was hidden, there was hidden treasure in a field. And upon finding it, he hid it again because of uncovering such treasure. He was overjoyed and he sold all he possessed to go and buy that entire field just so he could have that treasure. Heaven's realm is like a jewel merchant in search of rare pearls. When he discovered one very precious and exquisite pearl, he immediately gave up all he had in exchange for it. Now listen, Jesus taught with parables. Jesus is saying, you know what the kingdom of heaven is like? When you find this rare pearl, when you find this treasure, you give everything you have for that. Listen, don't forget, we hear a lot about God will bless you in this life, and he will. We hear a lot about when you serve the Lord, God will bless you, God will take care of you. Absolutely. But let's not forget, this life on earth is over like that. It's so quick. Remember, the greatest treasure is not the house God gave you, the car God gave you, the clothes God gave you. It's not your greatest treasure. The greatest treasure in your life is eternal life. Eternal life. And Jesus said, when you find it, you give up everything. It's the will of God for every believer to be a living sacrifice for Jesus Christ and to have their minds renewed with the word of God. Have you heard the joke about the chicken and the pig? But the chicken and the pig walking down the street one day. They walked past the grocery store. There was a sign in the grocery store. It says, bacon and eggs desperately needed. The chicken looked at the pig and he said, I'll give them the eggs if you give them the bacon. Pig said, no way, man. Chicken said, why not? The pig said, because for you, it's just a contribution. For me, it's a sacrifice. You know, we got a lot of Christians today. They're only willing to give God an egg. Here and now, they'll give God an egg. They think they've done enough. Woo, look at me, Lord. They wonder why God isn't showing up miraculously in their life. I'll tell you why not. Because God has asked his followers to get up on the altar and give all to be a living sacrifice to him. Another thing that people do, I see the believers, they get up, they climb on the altar, and then the next day they climb right back off. Our King has asked each of us to live our lives as a living sacrifice, and quite literally a sacrifice is a dead thing. So the truest interpretation of that term, living sacrifice, is that we are to be a living dead thing. We are to be alive to God and his desires while simultaneously being dead to our sinful nature, the ways of the world, and our own will. We want his will be done, not my will be done. We are to surrender to him, and the way you surrender to an almighty God is by placing his priorities as your priorities, making them your priorities, offering yourself as a living sacrifice is when you choose every day to lay down your own desires and live your life honoring and obeying him and obeying the word of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Trusting in his perfect plan for us. And God has given us the best resources, his word, the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I close with this today, this has been happening to me. Oh, I finished my notes. I sent them in to Monique. There you go. I'm all done. Praise the Lord. I'm sitting on Saturday, and man, then the Lord starts giving me more stuff. Monique, I've got some more notes. So this is what the Lord gave me, okay? What is the evidence that Paul pointed to as the example of a living sacrifice? Let me show it to you. Romans 12. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Then do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now look at verse 3. I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as according as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. He talks about being a living sacrifice. He talks about not being conformed to the world. He talks about don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. He talks about the fact that we're all members of the body of Christ and we've all been given gifts to use. Therefore, use those gifts God has given you. If you're a living sacrifice, you are serving with your gifts in the body of Christ. It goes on, it says, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. God has given every one of us gifts. He's given us talents. God has gifted every one of us with spiritual gifts. Are we using these gifts for his kingdom? That's the question. Are we using these gifts for God's kingdom? Because as living sacrifices, we live to please God, and we use our God-given gifts to serve in Christ's body. Don't be content with standing on the sideline when God created you to be on the front line. We want to see everybody serving at Ascend Church. No one serving, no one on the sidelines. God has gifted you. God has given you gifts. Listen, I'm not saying that the church is the only place you can serve. You can serve people outside of church, but you should be serving with your gifts in the body at church as well. Amen. Listen, Jesus died to create servants, not spectators. He died to create workers, not watchers. Are you serving today? If not, I want to encourage you, start serving on one of our teams. Start helping on the media team, serving on the usher team. Jennifer, talk to Jennifer. Talk to Jennifer back there, the usher, the greeter team. Talk to Miguel. Say, I want to help. The guy in the cowboy hat at the back with the Dallas Cowboys t-shirt on. Go say, Miguel, I want to help. Go talk to Maria. in children's church, say, I want to help in children's ministry. Listen, every single one of us should be serving somewhere in the house of God and in the kingdom of God. I beg you today, make a decision to be a living sacrifice to God. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by renewing your mind with God's word. Use your gifts to serve Jesus in the body of Christ. Will you do it today?
Amen.
Do you receive it today?
Amen.
Do you receive this today? Then won't you stand with me? Listen, stand up with me. We're not closing. Just hang in there, honey. We'll be home in a minute. What? We're going to lead a prayer. Hang in there. Say this. If you receive this today. No, you don't have to say that part. That's my part. If you receive this today, say this with me. Close your eyes. Say, Father, I present myself as a living sacrifice. I present my body on your altar as a living sacrifice. Lord, I am alive to you. I will not be conformed to this world, but I am being transformed by the renewing of my mind. Lord, I live for you. I am surrendered to you. Let your will be done in my life, not my will. I will use the gifts and the talents that you've put within me to serve in your body, Lord. To be a living sacrifice, to live for you. And I thank you, Father. Come and say, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, that I am proving that I know your will, your plan for my life. Thank you for guiding me down the best path for my life. Thank you, Lord, that your will be done in my life and that one day I will stand before you. And hear you say, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Amen. Just keep your eyes closed for a moment. Come on, Jill. Just keep your eyes closed. I want to pray right now while eyes are closed, while heads are bowed. If you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord today, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure, you know for certain that heaven is where you would spend all eternity? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. But I'm not sure. I can't say that I'm absolutely certain. If I died today, I'd go to heaven. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. The Bible says even the devil believes and trembles. And the devil's not going to heaven. My question is, are you certain, absolutely positive, that if you died today, you would go to heaven? Because the good news is you can know that for sure. You can walk out of here today. You can know that every mistake, every sin you ever committed in your life, it's forgiven and it's washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven that awaits us. There is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you this morning. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're going to pray. Listen, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to step out of where you're standing, but right where you are right now, while heads are bowed, while eyes are closed. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, please. Include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. I want to make sure that all is right and all is well between me and God. And I want to be sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. If that's you, won't you just lift your hand up right now? I'm looking for hand. Looking for hand, just put it up high. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Just lift it up. Here's my hand, Pastor Steve. Pray for me. Maybe you say, I want to rededicate, recommit my life to the Lord today. Lift your hand also. Anybody? You see anybody? There is. You saw someone? Okay, I want everyone to say this prayer, please. Everybody. The scripture says that if you believe in your heart, God raised Jesus from the dead, and if you declare with your mouth that he is Lord, you'll be saved. So let's do that today. Everybody say, Dear God, I thank you that you love me so much. You sent your son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth just for me, to take my sin, take my punishment, to die in my place. Lord, you said that if I believe Jesus has been raised from the dead, and if I confess Jesus is Lord of my life, you said I would be saved. So I do this today. I believe, Jesus, you're alive. Come on, say, I ask you to come into my life, Lord. Forgive me of my sin. Lord, save me. I surrender everything to you today. Say, from today, I will follow you, Lord. I will do what your Bible says. I thank you because I've received you. I'm now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Say, heaven is my home, and my name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Come on, you can be seated for a moment. We're going to give to the Lord, and then we're going to close out with that song, A Living Sacrifice. I've been singing it over and over and over. It's Brandon Lake's. Go get his album. It's called House of Miracles. Just a beautiful album. We're going to give to the Lord, and then we're going to end with worship this morning. Amen.
I love the way that Pastor Steve can take a meaty message like that. You didn't just have some baby milk right now, right? You had some good old steak today, right? But I appreciate the way that's so palatable. Do you receive it today? Amen. Well, now's the time in the service where we have the privilege and the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. And those that are watching online, it's really simple. There's a place for you to click. There's a link. If you just go to ascendchurch.us, you'll be able to give online. But, you know, just hearing this message, I could go 1,000 ways. Because let me tell you, if you give it all, it includes your money, right? It's not an issue. We've had a number of times in our life, we're trying to raise a young family and 4 kids and just felt the prompting of God to do certain things and just given everything we have because it's for a higher cause. But I just want to read a couple of verses from Philippians 4. It says, you Philippians well know, Paul's writing to them about giving financially, and he says, you Philippians well know, and you can be sure that I will never forget it, that when I first left Macedonia province, venturing out with the message, not one church helped out in the give and take of this word, in the financial support of this work, except you. You were the only one. Even while I was in Thessalonica, you helped out, and not only once but twice. Not that I'm looking for handouts, but I do want you to experience the blessing that issues from generosity. There is a blessing that issues. It's more blessed to give than to receive, but there's a blessing that comes with it, right? Go on, please. Move on. He says, and now I have it all, and I keep getting more. The gifts you sent with Epaphroditus were more than enough. Now, this is the part I wanted to get to. Like a sweet-smelling sacrifice roasting on the altar. That's what our offerings are, family, as sweet smelling sacrifice, roasting on the altar, filling the air with fragrance, pleasing God to no end. You know, at the end of the day, it's not even about money. It's about our sacrifice to Him, right? So our tithes and offerings are a pleasing sacrifice to Him. I'm reminded of what Pastor Steve said. Sacrifice, you can almost say it equals investment. Because I know anyone here, I know some people, I know Tom and Barry and Mike and Samantha, I know people that are building business are making sacrifice. But you know why they're making sacrifice? Because they see an investment. They see it as an investment. Some of us are making a sacrifice. If I thought that I would just hold on to my tithe, my 10%, if I thought that was all it was, but I see it as a sacrifice. I see it as an investment into the kingdom of God. Amen. So right now, as we get ready to give, there's various ways for you to give. We got our eyes set on eternity. Thank you for your faithfulness to tithe and to give. To those giving online, we appreciate it. Those who have already given, we appreciate it. There's envelopes right in the seats where you are. Go ahead and prepare yourself. We're going to pray right now. Father, we thank you that everything we have comes from you.
Yes, Lord.
Everything. Yes, very breath Lord. In our lungs. Father, we came into this yes, world with Lord. Nothing, and we are leaving with nothing except what we do for your kingdom. So I thank you for every person. I thank you for every bit of sacrifice. You know it. You stood in the temple and you watched the sacrifice of that widow that gave everything she had.
Yes.
And Father, we give to you today. We give to your kingdom. We say, your kingdom come, your will be done.
Right.
Thank you for your blessing on your people.
That's right.
Want to add to that? In Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, you can go ahead with that.
Yes, I'm going to ask you, just remain seated, if you would, seated as the buckets come by. We're going to, as they pass the buckets, we're going to sing that song before we end today, Living Sacrifice. We're going to sing it from our heart today. Everything that I have, Lord, all on the altar. We put it all for you today. Come on, let's sing it out. Just where you're sitting, just sing it out with us today.
And I will be a living sacrifice. Oh, my heart and soul to glory.
Gonna sing this
out. We give it all, Lord. We give it all.
And I will be.
We give it all. In sacrifice.
Come on, sing it.
Oh, my heart and soul to glorify. I offer nothing less than all my life for Jesus Christ.
Lord, we give it all. We will be a living sacrifice. All our worship we give to you, Father. I thank you, Father, as we go out of here today. I thank you that our lives have been transformed. I thank you, Lord, that we live unto you for your pleasure in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Listen, don't forget to hand in your registration card for the Christian Growth Seminar. And we got water baptism on Sunday, February 28th. We're having water baptism Sunday, February 28th. God bless. We'll love you. We'll see you next
for
Sunday.
Nothing less than all my life for Jesus Christ. Oh, and I will be a living sacrifice. Oh, my heart and soul to glorify. I offer nothing less than all my life for Jesus Christ. Oh. Thank you so much for coming. We'll see you next Sunday. Have a blessed week.